I want you tonight to turn with me in your Bibles to two scriptures. First in the book of Mark, chapter 7, and then in 2 Peter, chapter 2. But keep your finger in each one, please. Mark chapter 7, verses 5 to 9, and 2 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read Mark chapter 7 first, verses 5 to 8. And it says, "Then the Pharisees and scribes asked him," that's Jesus, "Why walk not thy disciples according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashing hands?" He answered and said unto them, "Well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men, as the washing of pots and cups, and many other such like things ye do.'" Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, keep your finger there in Mark, because we'll be coming back and having a look at some things there. But in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 20 and 21, referring to false teachers, we read, "For if after they have escaped the pollution," there's the word pollution, "the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them." Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us as we have a look at these two scriptures and situations that they might apply to. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that we can look into your word, Lord, and discover everything that we need to know about us and about you and about how we should live our life in a pleasing manner, Lord, for you. And walk in a way that will end us up in the right place in the end, Lord. We thank you for giving us the assurance, Lord, that your word is truth. Your Bible tells us thy word is truth. And we proclaim that and agree with it and tell everyone we can, Lord, thy word is truth. While every man can be a liar, your word is truth. And we thank you for that. We can have that assurance that we can look in your word and be sure that what we read is truth. Bless the people for coming out. Help us to hear and to understand the things that will be spoken tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Most people today use the word pollution with regard to land, water and air. And few people would question the claim that we really should be exercising greater care when it comes to these areas of our natural environment. No argument. We're making a mess. Amen. Our opening scripture of Mark chapter 7, in that we see how the religious leaders of Jesus' day worried themselves sick about outward appearance of cleanliness, wanting to appear like they were on the moral high ground by insisting that his disciples follow their man-made traditions of cleanliness to avoid pollution or defiling of their food. But at the same time, they didn't seem too concerned about polluting the commandments of God. Natural environmental pollution is rampant in our world today, and we should each be doing our bit to ensure that we are not personally responsible for its continued progress. But there is another pollution taking place in our day that is far more serious than the pollution of the environment. And it is even more serious than the defiling of our food because of some supposed lack of personal hygiene. And that is the problem of spiritual pollution. Verse 20 of 2 Peter chapter 2 speaks about those of us who have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The verse continues on to warn us just how dangerous the spiritual pollution we have escaped from actually is. We are reminded that if we are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with us than the beginning. Something interesting I thought about as I was preparing this message. So to think about as we consider the pollution of our bodies because of lack of personal hygiene and our spiritual pollution that I want to mention shortly. Something interesting to think about. Had the scribes and Pharisees, who were concerned about such things, lived in our day, lived today, they would have learned that God has designed our bodies in such a way that a bit of pollution is actually beneficial to us. Did you know that? It helps us to produce antibodies that prevent more serious diseases from killing us at some later stage in our lives. You knew that, eh? You know, we see all these little kids today and half-grown kids. They're all sick with asthma and all these diseases. They've been protected from eating mud pies. That's what it is. I mean it. They've been protected from germs. Everything's got to be sprayed with antibiotics, and you've got to keep everything hygienically clean. And really, God has designed us. The germs that come into our bodies tolerate them. They become antibodies, and they eventually become part of our defense mechanism. That's how it works. We get dirt when we're little, and these germs get in us, and our body creates antibodies, and we're protected from later on getting that disease, you see. When that disease attacks us, body's already immune to it. So those Pharisees and scribes didn't understand that scientific fact. But today they've discovered that. And you know, there's a big problem today with cesarean births. If you want to research about cesarean births and people, kids that have been born through a cesarean birth, they do not get the germs from their mother's body when they're born. And those germs that they get from their mother's body helps them to fight off diseases. But the kids that are born by cutting the mother's belly open and pulling them out, they don't get that opportunity. And a lot of them get sick. So there's a lot of sickness getting around today simply because we're too clean. We're too clean. We're too hygienic. This may be good in the natural, getting germs to pollute our bodies, to create antibodies, but it may be good in the natural, but it's not good in the spiritual. When spiritual pollution enters the heart of the man, it defiles him, and just like with the natural pollution, it becomes part of him. It's like leaven. It permeates and becomes part of the whole man. Jesus differentiated between natural and spiritual defilement, however, by telling his disciples that whatever pollution entered into the man from eating with unwashed hands only went into his belly. But spiritual pollution defiles the man's heart, and it's from out of the heart that proceed all the evil deeds that he mentioned back in those scriptures there. In verse 23 of Mark chapter 7, he points out that all of these evil things come from within, not from without. They come from within the man and they defile the man. All right? We could spend all night giving examples of spiritual pollution and discussing how each of them defile God's people and his church. Spiritual pollution defiles a man's heart. And it's from out of the heart that proceed all the evil deeds that he mentioned. With the time we've got tonight, I want to briefly mention some things about doctrinal pollution. Those of us who seek to deal with the problem of spiritual pollution and contamination of the doctrinal type usually face severe criticism. For example, to warn about the many pollutions evident in the modern versions of the Bible will more often than not attract a mountain of scorn and ridicule. Not from the world, but from professing Christians who claim that they are earnest contenders for the faith. Yet what could be more dangerous than the polluting of God's Word? What could be more dangerous than the polluting of God's Word? This is what I was talking about, Steve. Steve was talking to me tonight about the Bible. People that, you know, not worried about using modern translations. And you played a song about God's Word. Praise the Lord. Fits with our message tonight. Now, I'm always amazed that these same professed defenders of the faith can't grasp the simple fact that God, by His very nature, would only have given us one Bible. He's not out to confuse us, all right? By necessity, that means that if there is even one other version of it somewhere that isn't exactly the same as the original one, then that version has to be a corruption. I reckon any little kid could work that out. I don't want to go on and on about it, Andy, but I'm sorry to have to mention again, but two things that are different are not the same. They are different. If they are different, they are not the same. Amen? One has to be an imposter, you will agree. And if one is an imposter, then it is incumbent upon the faithful and obedient Christian to go about and discover for himself which one is not the imposter and which one is. And today we have literally hundreds of polluted imposters. But only one can qualify as being the genuine article. Things that contradict each other are not the same, no matter how vigorously some people might try to convince us otherwise. Which one can we trust? That's the question. If we cannot trust the Bible, then what can we trust? In Psalm 12, verses 67, don't worry about turning to them for time's sake. I'll just read them out. Psalm 12, verses 6 and 7, the Bible itself communicates the importance of individual words of God, the very words of God. The psalm tells us that it is God's words, not His word, the Bible as a whole, but His very words that are preserved. Psalm 12, 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Hey, seven is the number for perfection. All right? So, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. In Matthew 24, 35, Jesus assures us that heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We can be assured of that because God said it. Amen? It's His word. And you see there, it didn't say, I want you blokes to preserve my word. He said, I will preserve it. God says He's going to do something. Man's not going to stop Him. God's word will be is preserved forever and ever. And if God says my word is preserved, we've got the original somewhere. And we have to work out where. And if you don't want to be deceived, you have to work out where. And it's easy enough to find out with a bit of study. God says, study to show yourself approved, the workman that shall not be ashamed. So we need to study these issues and come to the conclusion where God wants to lead us and assure us of. We know we can find God's word. It's only the people that are corrupting it that don't want us to find it. And there's somebody behind that, eh? Faithful pastors and informed, obedient leaders or believers must insist in the purity of the Word of God and the message of the Gospel be maintained at any cost. Of necessity, this requires standing against the popular and very vocal majority opinion that we must all put aside our doctrinal differences and work together for world evangelism with groups that include Roman Catholics, Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, and others that preach false gospels. That's what they're trying to tell us to do today with the polluted Word of God. Today's various prayer movements are based upon the same unscriptural supposition that all churches, true and false, must come together in prayer if God is going to intervene and overcome the great spiritual needs of our present world. Here in Cairns, we have our own homegrown version of this in a group of dangerously apostate churches who call themselves the Cairns Christian Ministers Network. You know about that because I've told you about it time and time again. The Cairns Christian Ministers Network. Apostate. Horribly apostate, all right? Because one church in their membership has been reaching into our church to influence some of our people. Because of that, I decided to take a look at their website. I know who these people are. I've known them for years. But they've had change of leadership and done different things. So I'll go and check their website and see what they're up to. Under the title of what they believe about the Scriptures, I read the following. We believe the Scriptures, both Old and New Testament, to be the inspired Word of God. Praise the Lord. Without error in the original writings. The complete revelation of His will for the salvation of men and the divine and final authority of all Christian faith and life. Wow! That sounds pretty good. But then they wrecked it by continuing on to say, we accept that in the wisdom of God, in the wisdom of God, there are many translations available in the English language. We accept, in the wisdom of God, there are many translations available in the English language. Some feature ease of reading, others are more accurate and literal, and are more suitable for mature study of the Scriptures. The comparison of translations is frequently helpful to help us understand the intentions of the inspired author in the original languages. What absolute nonsense. They already said there that we believe about what they believed about the Bible and it was all good. But then they go and say that. What they're saying, among other things, is that God didn't give us only one Bible, but that He gave us hundreds. In the wisdom of God, there are many translations, you see. He's given us hundreds of Bibles, which don't all say the same thing. So that we humans could work out, like some big puzzle, what it was God originally intended to say to us. They reckon that God's done that. He's given us He's given us all these different Bibles so we can read them all and try to work out what it is and come to some common consensus between all of them and end up with the happy medium in the middle, and that's what God actually said to us. So, any wonder they belong to the Cairns Christian Ministries Network, who say on their website that we believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. They're all apostate. They're all apostate. And if you want to find out what church is apostate in Cairns, then you go to that Cairns Christian Ministries Network website, and they've got all the churches. Steve said to me last week or the week before, "Hey, we haven't got our name in this. You know, we need to have our..." No, we don't want our name in there. No way, Jose. Because they're all members of that group, you see. And they've got all these 70 or 80 church names in there that are all believe in... Well, they probably don't believe in it. But they've associated themselves with it and become contaminated by that thing. "We believe in one baptism for the forgiveness of sins." I don't. And I won't. I believe it's the blood of Christ and believing the gospel that we get forgiven of our sins, not baptism. Baptism doesn't wash away sins. Doesn't do it. Anyhow, as Bible-believing Christians, we need to understand that the most dangerous pollution is not the eating of food without first washing our hands, or the polluting of our environment, as important as those things are, but the most dangerous pollution is the mixing of truth with error. Doctrinal biblical truth with error, and then presenting that mixture as nothing but truth, saying it's truth. Now, you know, the meaning of the word heresy, that word comes from the root of it is to lay error alongside truth. The word heresy means to have truth and have a little bit of error laid alongside it. So when we read the truth, we read this little bit of error too, and it becomes part of us. And God calls that leaven. And leaven permeates. You put leaven in a loaf of bread when you're cooking the flour, putting the flour together and a bit of water and salt, and it'll puff up. How come? Well, the leaven went all through the flour. You kneaded it and mixed it all up. You can't get it back out. People say, "Oh, toss the baby out with the bathwater." And we're not talking about babies and bathwater. We're talking about leaven in the meal. Right? You cannot get leaven out once you add it in. And for wrong teaching to get into people, this stuff that they're teaching people through these corrupt Bible translations, very hard to get it back out of the people once they've got it. Once they've got it. All right? So, very dangerous thing. That's the pollution we need to be worrying about. The pollution of our natural resources and our bodies only affects the physical life, which, like a vapor, are both here for a moment in time and then gone. However, spiritual pollution affects the eternal destiny of mankind. It has consequences that last forever. Let's pray and close. Thank you, Lord, for this short study in your word and the assurance, Lord, that you have given us your word, a Bible, and that we can read it, Lord. Even school kids, any little school kid who's learnt to read English in the English language Bible, Lord, we can understand what you've said. Some things are hard to be understood, as Peter said, but with a bit of study, Lord, and a bit of tuition with a good teacher, We can come to understand all things, Lord, in the guiding of your Holy Spirit. We thank you, Lord, that we don't have to have 10 translations or 100 translations to work out what you said. But all we need, Lord, is your word written for us in the English language, which we can understand. And we thank you, Lord, that you have done that and provided it for us in Jesus' name. Amen.